Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, bringing you backstage and behind the scenes with the stars, creators, and industry leaders bringing Broadway back to life. I'm your host, Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, we're talking about Caroline or Change. The 2003 musical by Tony Kushner and Janine Tesori tells the story of Caroline, a black maid working for a Jewish family in 1963 Louisiana. The prescient tale touches on the destruction of a Confederate statue and the fight for equity and racial justice. And here to talk with me about the show are the performers Anika Noni Rose and Samantha Williams. Rose will be familiar to audiences as the voice of the Disney princess Tiana, and from other film and TV work, including Dreamgirls, Power, The Quad, Jingle Jangle, and Maid. But before all that, her breakout came when she played the character Emmy in the 2003 premiere of Caroline or Change. She went on to win a Tony Award for her performance the following year. Now, Caroline or Change is back on Broadway in a highly anticipated revival, and this time the role of Emmy is played by Williams, who comes to the part after making her Broadway debut in Dear Evan Hansen in 2019. Now, Williams and Rose are both in the virtual studio with me to talk about their shared connection to the show, discuss why Caroline's story remains so timely today, and to pass the torch from one Emmy to another. Hi, Anika and Samantha. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Hi.
Thanks for having us.
I wonder to start, for listeners who might not know Caroline or Change, I wonder if we could start just talking about the role of Emmy, the role you, one of you is playing right now, and the role that one of you played in the past. Like, who is Emmy and what's her journey doing the show? I wondered if, Anika, we could start with you and your memories of that character, and because you were there as the character was developing and working with them in the earliest productions of it. Tell us a little bit about who Emmy is and how you played her.
Emmy is a small town girl who has a bigger mind than she's been given space for. She is someone who sees a larger future than the world has said that she's allowed to have. She is the future, actually. And because of that, things with her and her mother are difficult because they are different people and she's on the precipice of becoming a woman herself, you know. But at 15, everybody thinks they're a woman. And something is going to slap you down. It's either going to be life or your mom at some point, you know. You know, when you're moving and your mind is moving so much faster than everything else and your mouth is moving so much faster. But the amazing thing about Emmy, you know, in retrospect, in this time, in 2021, is that Tony Kushner, in writing Emmy, and Janine and George and I guess and me, as we put her together, there was a foresight in that, you know, statues are coming down. At which we added that last bit, I want to say a couple of days before we opened at the public, the evil you've been, you got to go portion. And it had still been in that vein, but the whole thing changed right before previews, like the night before. And I was cross-eyed. I was like, are we really about to do this right now?
I can't imagine.
Because people are going to be here. And so, so she was the future in this play. And it was really interesting because we did 3 years of workshops. I was part of 3 years of workshops.
Wow.
And when I first came in, Emmy was so small. She really wasn't who she ended up being. And I loved her because I am from a small town and I understood, you know, that space, Samantha. I'm not quite sure where you're from, but I understood that that feeling, that need, that drive that said, this is not where I'm going to end up.
Yeah.
There is somewhere else for me. So we spent 3 years developing this piece, and this character got more and more centralized to the story as we went on. But I think even when we opened, I don't know that I realized how much of the heart of the story she actually was, because the truth is she's the heart of the story. She is the forward movement. She is the baton that has been passed. And Samantha, I'm going to, because you're doing it now, I don't want to define for you where you are in this SIP space.
Yeah, how does that resonate for you, Samantha, in terms of your own journey with the character?
I mean, first of all, it is so mind-blowing to hear you speak, first of all, about this to me. Like, this whole situation is absolutely insane for me, so I just want to, say thank you for this conversation, and I could literally cry. I'm just so overwhelmed.
I'm getting teary right now. I was just I need to calm myself down.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
This just means so much to me, and I'm just, I mean, I agree with everything that you said. Emmy is the change. I also come from a really small town in Lufkin, Texas, in the middle of nowhere. And just that desire and that necessity to be more than what everyone thinks you should be or you will be, and to kind of defy all stereotypes and expectations. And it's this weird thing, because I feel like that's what I'm doing now. So to see that, to be that every night, and to be able to remind myself that this is what you've done, and how possible it is for other young Black women to do that is just insane. So to hear you say that is a huge reminder for me. It's that is what this is. She is the heart of the story. I remember Janine told me a second a different title for this would be Caroline or Emmy, you know. Mm. She really is the change. So it's just so important to remind myself of that, and to know that that's the purpose of my character in the story. It's so beautiful.
Anika alluded a little to how the show resonates now, as opposed to, you know, the foresight that seemed present in the writing. How does that, as you're doing it right now for audiences in 2021, Samantha, how does that manifest for you?
Honestly, it's very intense. I always tell my friends, it's unfortunately, it unfortunately resonates. I wish it wasn't as timely as it was, but it is. It'll always, you know, when Anika did it, it was a huge deal as well for that time. This has resonated so much. I feel and I feel even last year when I was doing it, it was really big for all the Black people in the cast. But I always say, now that it's 2021 and we had this year of a pandemic where it feels white people kind of woke up to what was happening and what we have to deal with and see every day, and what we see in our communities and our neighborhoods, what we've seen for years. Now it's resonating with the world, but I feel it's always resonated with us and always resonated with my family and just the people who know that story. So, it just feels an even greater honor to be able to share and say the words that I'm saying, because I know what an impact they're having.
one of the things that I was reminded seeing the show again after seeing the initial production was that Emmy is this very interesting balance between, you know, the sort of fighter activist and the kid, right? Like, I just wonder if you could, and you started to talk a little bit about this, Anika, but I wonder if you could both talk a little bit about sort of balancing that sort of drive toward adulthood with, you know, she's also an older sister and she's got these younger siblings and she plays with them like a kid, you know, like tell me a little bit about how you imagine that and how you embody that.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I think that it allowed it to be fun and and not have her just be this sage, this Cassandra on stage, you know what I mean? It allowed the truth of who she was to be visible, that space at 15, that in-between space where your body is ahead of your face. And you're figuring out your movement through the world in that space. And, you know, as a young Southern girl, I remember when I turned 12, maybe I turned 13, and my grandmother, who was a Southern woman, bought me a girdle. A girdle. It wasn't 1959. A girdle. Yeah. And I was like, a girdle? But she wanted to hold everything in and to make sure that this body that was moving ahead of this little girl was protected and constrained and not as visible as things should be, because the growing up sometimes happens on your person so visibly, and for girls that's so difficult, but you're still a kid. You're still playing Roosevelt Petrucci's coleslaw. You're still remembering fun at the AMW. You're still a kid. And that is an amazing precipice. You know, I remember quite vividly being 15 and wanting so desperately for my parents to let me take the GED so I could leave high school, so I could be finished and move to this different space in my life. Mm-hmm. And they would not. They would not let me do it. You know, as an adult, in retrospect, that's probably good. There's socialization that I needed to go through, but I could see so clearly a different space, a different reality that I was reaching for and grasping for, but you're still a child.
That time in a young person's life must be such a dynamic place to inhabit as an actor every night, right? Like, just sort of it must be so much to think about and embody. So do you find that, Samantha?
Yes. I feel like it brings like humanity to the character, because I feel like a lot of times, you know, it can be just one thing. So it's really nice that they added that like juxtaposition of like youthfulness and also like a need for change and like this like political girl who's learning that she has the power to do things that maybe those before her didn't. It's nice to have that juxtaposition. It's really fun. Like, the boys, like I said before, are
tell us about working with kids. You've got at least one major scene with two younger actors.
They're so cute, and like I call them like my Sour Patch Kids, because they fight with me like we're actually siblings, and then they also come and hug me, and it's just like a constant, you know, it's like having little brothers, and I have an older brother, so I just like know how that is. And it's so nice. It's also like a really good reminder that like we are doing a play. Like, they're very good at like just like reminding me, like not like putting all the pressure on it as much, you know, just because they're so young and they see it as just like a fun thing to do. And sometimes like that perspective is so necessary. So it's actually been really nice getting to work with kids. Yeah.
And you mentioned that you had to break up a fight between the two of them before you went up on stage.
All the time. Like, they'll be, like, not, like, fighting, sure. but just, like, one of them will have, like, a little attitude or something. And I'm like, okay, you have to hug him before we go and do this scene because we need to be in good spirits. And then everything's, like, settled. But it's just, they're the cutest. They're so, yeah. Amazing.
Do you have memories of the younger actors that you worked with, Anika, in the first production?
Oh my goodness.
How that sort of impacted your own performance?
Well, first of all, I was grown.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, there is no pretending when you have actual children next to you and you are also supposed to be a child. You're either truly inhabiting that space or you are standing out like a sore thumb because, you know, there is something about childhood. When you're standing next to another child, it tells on you if you're not really there with them. Fortunately, I still have a 5-year-old inhabiting my person, so.
Yeah, same.
So, you know, it was not a space that I felt foreign to. And it really was enjoyable. I think that the one time where I really felt like, oh, wait a minute, was when we had a break going from the public theater to Broadway. We had like a couple of, maybe 3 months off, and bringing myself back into that energy and that freedom was like, whoo, wait a minute.
Give
me 1 second.
Give me a second.
That's real. Right? But I loved it. I loved it. Yeah. I still, you know, I love little kids. I really, really enjoy them. And I love that freedom. And I think as an actor, it is something that I hope that I, as a person, never release because I think that is the thing that allows me to step into and take on and exchange myself more easily because I still feel that energy of who I was at that point in my life. I don't think that I'm, you know, of course I'm an adult person and I've gone through lots of things that have changed me, but I think that, like when I speak to friends of my parents, they often are like, you know, that's the same face. That's the same face that I looked at when you were this big. Like, I can't believe that. And I think that it's mostly because it's the same spirit. So I'm grateful for that. And I loved those kids. And then to watch what's mind-blowing is now to see them. You know, Leon Thomas is a major producer. Like,
Incredible.
What? And why aren't you writing something for me, Leon? Don't think I haven't noticed. And I hope you're watching this. Don't play games. you know,
it.
Harrison Chad sent me something on Instagram yesterday with all of these pictures from when we did the show. And that was a time capsule. And then Ben Platt, who was my little brother when we did it in L.A. and San Francisco.
Okay.
We just did the Tonys together. He's grown and doing movies.
That
and
beautiful.
I thank you. And, you know, so it's wild because also what was really wild at the time was that these were little kids, right? But they were also on a precipice.
Yeah.
Their voices were changing.
Yeah.
As we were doing the show. I remember we came into rehearsal from the public to Broadway and Harrison came back and he was like, he'd be like talking to him. His brain would just be all over the place.
Yeah.
And we knew, you know, that we only had, that this was really a time capsule, that we only had a certain amount of time with these children who were actually children before they did their skip and things changed for them. And that's really an amazing space to be with people, watching them grow as we as artists are also growing. This was my first show that I did from page to stage and brought to Broadway. So I was also in a space of growing and creating and finding myself in that particular space. It's an amazing piece, and it gives you, I think, hopefully it gives you family and it gives you friends. Like, I talk to my castmates still today, not every day, but when I talk to them, I'm so grateful because we went through something and created something and were part of something that was really very special. It is the only show that I have done where I would run to the wings to see or hear certain numbers. Because the talent was just absurd.
Yeah.
And the music was
so good.
Ridiculous. I just went so far, and I'm sorry, Samantha, and I'm like,
no, 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 no. This is
and I'm also mind blown. I'm mind blown that it's coming back, that I'm looking at another Emmy. Like, it's really like, really? It's already?
Crazy. Yeah.
Like, already. Wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wild.
I'll have more with Anika and Samantha right after the break. Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
And now, here's more with Anika Noni-Rose and Samantha Williams. That actually leads me into my next question, which is what were your, are your favorite parts to, were your favorite parts, Anika, and for you, Samantha, are your favorite parts to perform? Is there a song you love or a moment you particularly love? And then also, as you mentioned, you're running back to the wings to catch certain sequences. Tell me what those are.
Samantha, you talk about what your favorites are first. Because you're doing it now.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they change like night to night, but for tonight, I think my favorites are definitely the first, like, you remember from Mama Ada. Like, that is so fun to do. And I just love that, like, rebellious, like, fun, like, just jumping out of the gate, like, right off the bat. I love that. I love the Hanukkah sequence with that whole fight with Mr. Stopnik and the, like, fighting with Caroline and just, like, standing up for myself. Like, that whole sequence is awesome, and I love the music. It's so hard not to dance to the Jewish music whenever we're, like, cooking and stuff.
Because it's gorgeous.
It's so gorgeous, and it's so fun, and obviously, I Hate the Bus is really fun to do. Gosh, I'm just gonna like literally name every single number. I mean, I love doing it all. Like, I'm just grateful to be doing it. What about you, Anika?
So you named just about everything I was gonna name.
Everything I know.
Because it's the show.
It's a show.
Chuck Cooper, his instrument is so otherworldly.
Yeah.
That when he would come on as that bus and the president is dead, I still get goosebumps just thinking about that sound and him and also the Caroline.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Salty Teardrops was mind-blowing every time. Marva was just laying people to the ground with that. I loved watching when Caroline would do 16 feet below sea level. I would go to the wings, and then I would run down to the pit where Clancy was playing percussion. So that I could hear her, but I could also feel this percussion moving through my body. And when he would play, you think about a drum set. Yeah, there was a drum set, but this man also had pots and pans, no joke. Pans, bottles, cowbells, anything that could make a noise that he felt was the right noise. And I would stand there and get this wash of the percussion and Caroline coming from above. And I would just take it in. And then, you know, and then be where I needed to be for the next thing. But those are things that I loved to listen to. The clarinet was so beautiful for the Hanukkah, but also the interstitials. The moon. I loved doing Roosevelt Petrucius. I loved it.
It's a great workout.
It is a workout. You know, I hate the bus. The trio of that and how that moved was so stunningly beautiful. And I used to truly, it was such a gift because I was working with geniuses. I was working with geniuses. I was working with genius performers, but I was also working with a genius team of creators. And there's no question about that. There's no, oh, well, are you sure? Well, maybe. No. Tony Kushner, Janine Tesori, and George Wolfe. Like it couldn't have been the cerebral. these artists were so amazing. So everything that came together, everything was thought about. Everything was the music moving through the words, moving through the physical, where we were on the stage. And sometimes things happened like magic, and then we kept it. And another thing about genius is that when you are working with good genius, the genius that doesn't make you feel stupid, because nobody knows as much as Tony Kushner and George, like you just don't. But you never get made to feel that way.
Absolutely.
When you are working with these types of people, they recognize when something good happens. And it doesn't have to be something that they made happen. Because their hands are all over it. And so they would recognize when something magical would happen, and we would just keep it. And hold it. And that is, you know, a tribute to the casting as well, because they knew that they had cast people who could take what was there and make it real, make it live, make it magical. I was in awe of every one of those voices that we worked with. And it was, it's a real acting show as well. It's not just, you know, and this is not it's not just singing and being cute and bopping across. It's like you are acting in this show. And the singing that you're singing is not play singing. It's not, what you're not about to do is be like, you know what, I'm gonna sing a little Carolina Change tomorrow. That's what I'll do for my audition. Like, okay.
No.
Good luck with that.
It's the warm-ups. It's the warm-ups for me.
You know, because Kapavia Jenkins was not playing games. Tanya Pinkins was not being, and the, all of these things were written around these voices that were so specific and amazing. So I hope that that doesn't sound like I'm taking away, Samantha, I'm so sorry, from what you're doing, because that's not my goal all. I'm just, we're so lucky when we have a piece like this. And then when we have, when we are surrounded by people who have a reverence for what they're doing, but not so much so that they can't play with it and allow it to create its own fire. It is, I just truly feel so very lucky, so very blessed to have been able to be a part of that cast and a part of this piece of art, because I remember when it happened and people were like, oh, they're not, people aren't ready for this. People aren't coming. Well, no, that's not because people weren't ready for it. It's because people didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. By the time we closed, we had serious momentum and the house was packed all the time, but people didn't, in the beginning, people didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And I always felt like it definitely could have run longer if it had been given the space to do so, because people had finally been like, oh, this is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, this is very American. This is so many people's stories.
Yeah.
This is the South and the North.
Yeah.
This is Black people. This is Jewish culture. This is the melding of those things together, which often happens. And we don't often talk about how melded Black culture and Jewish culture really, really is.
Yep.
It's young people and grown people. It's the beginning and the end of life. It's all of those things. That's amazing to me. It's quite a gift. I always think of it as quite a gift. And I'm so happy for you, Samantha, that you are able to feel this and be a part of this and be a part of it in this time where people know what they're coming to see. So they're coming because they want to see it and they're excited about it. And maybe they missed it. Or maybe they didn't get to see it the first time, or maybe their heart missed it because they did get to see it the first time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also because we have gone through so much as a country, when I saw that statue, I think it was General Lee that they put the BLM on in hologram style and George Floyd's face on, I had chills.
Yeah.
I had chills.
God.
I said, well, I know what this is.
Yeah.
I knew what this is.
Yeah.
And I think that the people coming now will see what you're doing and see that space and see it from a very different perspective than they did when we first performed it. And maybe they will be even more open to walk out of that theater and make their own change.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Before we go, I want to talk a little bit about what else is on everybody's plate. Samantha, you basically just graduated from school this last year. So congratulations. And how are you enjoying? Are you working on anything else we should know about? Or is
do you have time to work on anything else?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Right?
No, this is it.
Yeah,
I just want to add one thing to what you just said, Anika. It is like to hear you talk about how special like your cast was/is, and like just like how like everyone kind of knew like this was something so special and big for them. Like, it is the same energy. So I'm just glad that that's a testament to the piece, like, and the music, and how, like, everyone is just, like, taking such ownership of what they're doing, but also not being too precious with it, so that there is play and that there is fun, and there's so much learning from, like, generation to, like just, it's just so beautiful. So to hear you talk about your experience and to know that mine has been the same is so exciting for me, and I'm just so excited to like keep doing this, because it's I just have to throw that in there. But
I think it's fantastic too, Samantha, because I auditioned soon after I got to New York from school. Like, it was I want to say, I don't know, within the year after I got to New York is when I had my first audition for this show. So I feel like you're stepping into it from the same type of journey that I was stepping into it from. And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful entree.
Yeah.
Because it's nobody's appetizer, but it's a beautiful entree.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in all the meanings of that word. And congratulations to you and
thank
your
you.
Journey as you grow with this. Because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Thank you.
Am I interrupting you? Did you have something else to say?
Yeah, Me? Oh, no.
Oh.
I don't, I'm good.
Gordon, you were asking what I was doing?
Anika, you've got a lot on your, you've got a lot going on these days. You just released a single it sounds like it was inspired by the show that you worked on, The Maid, that you worked on.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that. And you've got a Tiana project coming up. You've got all sorts of stuff, it sounds like. So tell us a little bit about that.
I've got lots of things happening, and I don't want to like dominate with all of that, with all of it, but I do. In this moment, Maid is happening on Netflix, which has turned into a phenomenon. I don't think any of us in it thought it was going to be what it is. I did write a song with the fabulous Phil Lawrence of the Schmeezingtons and Bruno Mars and Davy Nathan, who's also just an amazing musician, who helped me turn all of these lyrics, this big old poem, into a fully fledged song, and it's called So Much More, and I just released it a couple of days ago. And I hope people get it. It's inspired by the show. It talks about the strength of women, the strength of mothers, the ability to get out of situations that are oppressive to them, and some of the proceeds are going to the Genesee Center, which is a center that helps families and women, men, children dealing with domestic violence and other issues to get out of their circumstances. So some of the proceeds will go to them, and I'm really proud of it. I was nervous about it. It's different for me. It's a different angle to come in through. But I'm very proud of that. Tiana is going to be a series on the Disney Channel, but I think that's going to take some time because it's animation and it's and that takes forever. But I'm very excited about that.
That's particularly meaningful. Yes, please, Samantha, tell us a little bit about your attachment to Tiana.
Oh my god. Not me crying. You're literally the first Black Disney princess. That is truly, like, that is insane. Sorry. It just means so much to me, so thank you.
Thank you. There's so much connection, actually, to Princess Tiana from this, because when we took Caroline to Los Angeles, Disney had seen it, and they asked me to meet with them, and that was when I had my first meeting with Disney. We were doing the show in Los Angeles at the Amundsen, and I had a meeting with them to talk about voice work. And it's amazing how connected everything really truly is. And what a gift all of these things have been. And so, I don't know, I'm a terrible journaler. Please keep a journal.
Yeah, so I have been, actually.
You can remember. I suck at it. And I wish I had been better at it.
Yeah.
But keep a journal, because, like, you're this is your beginning.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing, and you'll never have another beginning quite like this.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Anika, are you going to get a chance to see the show on Broadway while it's on Broadway?
I hope so. I will be probably late winter. I'll be able to see it, but I know that it's not going anywhere, you know.
Pre-June.
So I've got some time to see it.
You've got time.
And I will not tell you, Samantha, when I'm coming, because I hate to know when people
do.
Especially somebody who did the show. Like, I don't need to know you're there.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
But I will see you afterwards.
Yes. Amazing.
And and give you a big old hug.
Man.
This is remarkable. It's so, I don't know, it's wild for me. Like, I don't think I thought that I would be looking at someone in this time period playing the role that I play. Like, that's so crazy to me
that
enough time has passed that this is happening again. That's like, wow. It's mind-blowing. So I'm excited to see what it will become.
Yeah.
In your hands and in your heart. I'm very excited to see that, and I don't even know what to say at this moment. I'm it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait for you both to meet in person for the first time.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
After the show.
That would be lovely.
Well, thank you both so much for doing this. This was such a great conversation. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
It was great to talk with you both. Thank you so much.
That was Anika Noni Rose and Samantha Williams talking about the new Broadway revival of Caroline or Change. Rose can be seen in Netflix's recently released series Made, and her new single, So Much More, is out now. You can catch Williams in Caroline or Change on Broadway right now. If you like what you're hearing on this and other episodes of Stagecraft, I'd really appreciate it if you took the time to rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us grow our audience of folks who love theater as much as you and I do. Or tell a friend about Stagecraft. Find past episodes or subscribe on all the pod places, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on the Broadway Podcast Network, which is a great place to find more theater for your ears. I'll be back in 2 weeks with another new episode. Until then, find me on Twitter at @GCoxVariety. Thanks for listening, and see you soon.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.